Hi everyone, welcome to Baby Steps Nutrition, a podcast that focuses on nutrition, health, and wellness for families of children of all ages and stages. I'm your host, Argavon Neil Forouche, a pediatric dietitian and mom of two young children. My goal is to bring you impactful information that you can apply every day in a simplified, practical form to make life easier. Now let's get into today's conversation. In a world where more and more people are prioritizing health and wellness, this includes being a health-conscious pet owner. The Bone and Biscuit Company, founded in Canada by Lee Drescher, offers customers the finest high-quality foods with an emphasis on ingredients, manufacturing techniques, and nutritional value, as well as an abundant selection of natural and toxin-free toys, clothing, and accessories. What I love most are that the products are Canadian-made, so from the roots up, environmentally conscious, and community-focused, and their highly knowledgeable staff help educate owners about the importance of pet nutrition. Today, I am speaking with Anuba Jaldiel, the owner-director of one of the Bone and Biscuit stores in Ontario, Canada. Her previous experience included financial institutions. She holds a Master of Business Administration degree from Manipal Academy of Higher Education in India. She's an avid nature and animal lover. We'll get into her story now. Welcome, Anuba. I'm so excited you're here.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me on this podcast. I'm very happy to give you some information on pet nutrition, and go ahead and ask me what you would like to know.
Wonderful. I just wanted to mention to the listeners, it's so neat how you and I connected. I had such a great experience at the Bone and Biscuit store and was really impressed at how much the staff value pet nutrition and are knowledgeable about it. So thank you for being here to share all of that with the listeners.
Thank you, Ardivan.
I'd love to first ask, how did you get involved working with animals, both professionally and personally?
So from when I was a child, I always knew that I would do something with animals. I wanted to be a vet growing up, but somehow my career field didn't take me in that direction. But I always looked for ways and opportunities to connect with pets and nature, because that's my passion. Growing up, we had dogs in my grandparents' home. We had cows, and we had chicken and a whole farm. And whenever we visited my grandparents, I really, really enjoyed myself. After that, we lived in cities. Even after growing up, busy in the career, I really didn't get time to do anything about it. But when we came to Canada and we settled down 12 years ago, we got our first family pet. It was a golden retriever. His name was Java. And he was a very, very easy pet. It was like a breeze having him. If people know about the breed, they are wonderful family dogs. And I never thought too much about the difficulties or challenges of a pet owner. And it was just so easy. He was growing up healthy. We were doing commercial food for him and never thought about doing supplements. Whatever the dog vet said, oh, he's good, he's fine. And I left it at that. And just shy of 7 years old, he passed from kidney disease. It was a shock. It came on suddenly, and in 1 month, he was gone. That left a huge impact on me, and I wondered where I went wrong. After that, we couldn't think of having another pet. And I started, but I was missing the presence of a pet in the home. So I started volunteering and fostering with Niagara Dog Rescue. And that's where I came across different breeds and different traits and different challenges of dog ownership. And when the last foster came into us, he was having, his name was Rascal, and he had the same levels of kidney disease that Java had. I I drove head in looking for nutrition for him and looking at what I can do to save him, because I just couldn't bear the thought of another pet passing away from the same disease. And I saw that I could give him good healthy food. And then I started making cooking food for him at home. I was making his chicken, I was making his rice, I was making his vegetable soup. His hair, he had dandruff and dry skin, and his hair was not in a good place at all. And then in a few months, we saw such a big improvement in him. His hair was nice, shiny, smooth, silk, no sign of dandruff. He lived for almost 8 months. Even at that point, with his kidney disease, the vet wanted to put him down. The rescue wanted to put him down. But he lived for 8 months, a good, happy, healthy life. And then, unfortunately, after that, because it was at such an advanced stage, we had to put him down. But it just drove home to me the importance of good nutrition for pets. How is food so important? How is supplement so important? Something that I had never given a lot of regard for before. And a pet is a family member and has to be taken care of in the same way as you would do your family. So this led me, all my research led me to this direction of pet nutrition. I came across Bone and Biscuit, their philosophy, their food choices, their quality of food. It all resonated with me, and I became one of the franchisee owners. And that's how I got into the pet food business.
I know, but what I really loved about the beginning of your story is the early childhood exposure to nature and animals. And I think there's such a magic that happens with children who grow up with animals and learning to respect the environment and being at one with the environment. So I feel like when you became a pet owner, there was this natural transition to the love and care. But of course, you learn throughout the way that things that may have been done in the past are not necessarily the right way, and they are detrimental to our pets. And I feel the same way. It's only when I became a pet owner. I mean, I work in nutrition, I work with kids, I work with people, but I really started to pay attention to why are so many pets having so many issues, right? And just like with people, there's a pharmaceutical treatment for everything. But we have to look at, but why are these issues happening in the first place? And that's why I love that we're having this conversation, because it's all to do with what you put inside and on your body that matters.
Absolutely. Absolutely. With pets, we also have interbreeding when we buy from backyard breeders, and they just generally lead to more genetically weak dogs with a lot of issues like kidney diseases, which are genetically inherited by dogs. So we should be careful where we are getting our pets from and how they are being bred. So we are not getting pets with these kind of diseases.
Right. And that's a great point that you make, that it starts from in utero, meaning when the mom is pregnant with the litter. So it goes way, way back before when even the puppy is born and all of the issues that they can be born with.
Right. Absolutely.
Anuba, you are a foster mom for dogs. How has this shaped your perspective on the role of nutrition and health and well-being? How much do we need to prioritize those things?
I think it's when you get a pet, you also get a responsibility of taking the care of a life. It's in your hand, like your own child is. It's an absolute life, and you have to be very, very responsible for it. And the first starts with educating yourself on nutrition and seeing what are the best food choices you can give to your pet. So best does not mean just getting an expensive food off the rack. Okay, this is expensive food, it must be good. No, not necessarily. And you have to see what's in the food. Are you looking at the ingredients at the back of the bag to see what's actually in the food? Are you looking at how the food has been processed? Are you looking at what are the remaining things that you can't pronounce in the food? What are those additives? Same like you would look at any pack of food when you buy for your child. So that's how it's, that's what I have learned. I have learned it in a hard way by losing a beloved pet. And you don't have to learn it the hard way. You can, there is so much information that is available. It's out there on the internet. You just have to learn. You have to look, talk to people, talk to some people, talk to store owners or store workers like us who would be able to guide you in the right direction to make your food choices.
Yes. And as I was thinking about our interview, I was thinking about, you know, the pet industry is a big industry, as we know, both the vet and the products, the supplies, the food. But oftentimes you can go into a store and you can ask questions of the associate and they're not knowledgeable and they don't have those basic requirements to be a good sales associate with pet nutrition.
I agree.
And that can be really frustrating.
Unfortunately, that's true, and I agree with it. So that's why the option of, you know, of selecting the store that you shop at is so important. Maybe one store and the store next to it are keeping the same food. But who is there to tell you about the food or to even guide you in the direction that you should be taking your pet's nutrition? So when you think of a big box chain, I won't name a pet store, but if you think of a big box chain and you think of something like Walmart, you are just going in, picking up the items that you want, you're paying at the cash counter and you're walking out with your product. There's no one to tell you about it. But when you go to a small boutique store like ours, where we are dedicated to passing information to customers, to helping them with their food choices, then you can ask us as many questions as you want. You can ask us about the nutrition. You can buy the food. You can see whether your dog likes the food. If your dog doesn't like the food, you can, a lot of times you can bring the food back. If your dog has allergies, you can look and try different options for them. You can discuss it with us. We are there to answer your questions and help you make a good informed choice.
Yes, and that is exactly the experience that I had when I was traveling with my puppy and all of the questions that I had. And I even noticed the questions that other customers had were being answered in the way, you know, based on evidence-based knowledge. So those were all the things that drew me to the company. Now, Anuba, when you are deciding what products to bring into your store, because there must be a very selective criteria, what are some of those things that you look for?
So a lot of all the products that we are selling in the store, they are first of all approved by our head office. So our head office has gone through with a magnifying glass on the ingredients of the food. They have gone through the quality of the food. They have gone through every detail that is required for a good quality product before they agree to even put it on the shelves in our store. So we cannot sell anything that is not approved by our head office. So you can be rest assured that all the food that is there, that are quality foods, that is what we stock in the store. They're all quality foods. On top of that, we make sure that the ingredients are neat and clean proteins. There's no wheat, corn, or soy in any of the food. There is no antibiotics or hormones in the food. The animals are open range animals. They have been brought up in a healthy environment, so they are able to. That is what is going in the bags that we are selling. So we have some brands where the protein is king, where even at any stage of life, even as a small chicken, they are not being given any antibiotics. So that is antibiotics, as you know, as a pet, as a pediatrician, or you must be knowing that antibiotics, when they enter the body, they deposit themselves on the bones, and then they can have long-term effects later on. And if we are eating that or consuming hormones or antibiotics, it stays and has bad effects on our body. So we have to make sure all these things are missing. They are not in the food that we are selling. So that's yes, how we bring quality food in the store.
Just like how we prioritize what we put in our bodies in terms of the ingredients, the techniques, and the nutritional value, we need to be doing that with our pets.
Absolutely.
Anuba, what about products like toys and accessories? Because we know dogs love toys. Toys are very popular, even those bones that dogs like to chew on. So it's something that they're getting constant exposure from. What are the criteria when it comes to choosing those?
So toys should be mentally and physically stimulating. There are a few, there are two types of toys. Like, so you have some toys where you play like the rope one, where you play a physical tug of war with your dog and your dog is enjoying that and playing with it. And then there are toys that mentally stimulate the dog, like snuffle toys, where you hide things and the dog is looking for them in between the toys, trying to take them out, or toys that, you know, where you can put treats inside and the dog has to roll over or do a lot of things to get the treats out. So toys should be fun and interactive, and they should be entertaining. Some dogs, they just like to tear the toys off and get the fluff out, and that's also not wrong because they're enjoying that process so much. They like to get the squeaker. Some people just like to buy the toys just to give the dogs that pleasure of tearing some things up, as long as it's not the cushions in their house. So the toys don't have to be expensive, they don't have to be fancy, but they have to do what you get them for a purpose, and they have to solve the purpose, and there we have a lot of toys for that.
Wonderful. What about the safety and the materials that these toys are made of? What should customers be avoiding?
Again, these are also, you have to make sure it's not cheap quality rubber or something that a toy can break off when a dog chews, and it breaks off and it gets lodged in the intestine, and then you have to undergo surgery and take it off. So no cheap products like that where a dog can swallow a big piece, right? Anything, even when the dog tears the foot, tears the toy, it should still be safe. You should be disposing all the small pieces off. You should not be keeping them in the house. You should not let your dog play with anything that is smaller than the dog's mouth. Same goes for chews. Any chews or anything that you get, the chews are also a great recreational treat. It can be a recreational treat. It can be great for plaque and tartar, and you can give them chews. But you have to make sure anything that you have in the house for your dog to play, whether it is a raw bone or it's a chew or it's anything, the dog is going to it's going to be smaller, bigger than the dog's mouth. And when it's small, you throw and you chuck it away. This is for a dog's own good health.
And you mentioned with plastic and low quality rubber, those are things you want to avoid, because just like in humans, the exposure can be harmful.
Yes, that's also true. You don't want that. You don't know what chemicals they've used on the toys, and you want to make sure that they are chemical free and they are good, sturdy toys for your dog. And again, our toys, everything, they are approved by our head office before we even stock them in the store.
Mm-hmm. And you were mentioning kidney issue being a very common and very unfortunate condition that a lot of dogs deal with. We know allergies are on the rise with dogs too, digestive issues. Are those really the top three that you're seeing in terms of customer complaints with their dogs, or are there others that we should be paying attention to?
So a lot of times, these years we are seeing a lot of picky dogs. So that's not an issue with the dog health. But when you say dog health, we are looking at allergies, we are looking at kidney disease, we are looking at liver issues. We are seeing a lot of dogs that have these issues just because they're not having the right food, especially skin issues, where they are, where they may be having either a protein allergy, or they may be having a yeast infection, or they're just not having the right supplements, because you need supplements like like a fish or an omega oil for the dog, that's great for the skin. Like humans, dogs don't make omega in their body, so they need that extra supplement. They need the omegas. You can give them fish oil. You can, if you don't want to give them fish, you can give them hemp oil. You can give them coconut oil. You can give them kelp. You can give them so many things for the skin issues. But you have to make sure that why what is the source of this issue, of this allergy. So if it's a protein that they are allergic to, then you have to take care of that protein. Do other proteins for them. Try out different proteins. You can also do an allergy test to know what they are allergic to. And then, of course, dogs with kidney disease, because that's just on the rise because of how they are bred, and we are seeing more and more genetic issues relating to the kidney, and then liver issues. Pancreatitis is also, we see a lot of dogs with pancreatitis where they can't do high fat foods, they have to do low fat foods. So yes, we see dogs with issues all the time, and we try to give them the best direction regarding supplements. Digestive issues a lot of time can be taken care of with probiotics. Like humans need probiotics, dogs need probiotics too. They need a pre and a probiotic to be able to digest their food properly, to have good gut health. If your gut health is good, your your immune function is good, your whole body is good, you're able to absorb all the nutrients from the food. So that's very, very important. If you ask me two supplements that you have to give any dog, it's omegas and probiotics. And besides that, we have dogs with joint issues as they grow with age. So we tell them in the first 1 year of their life, give them a joint supplement, then you can stop it. And when they are 4 and 5 years old, especially big dogs, you can start the joint supplement again to give them that to help, say, protect their joints. Glucosamine, chondroitin, MSM, they are all hyaluronic acid. These are some of the things that are in a joint supplement. And you can also give green-lipped mussel if you want to go the natural way. There are so many options to go the natural way, natural supplements for your dogs.
And I think this is a good place to mention, just like with supplements for people, you want to make sure that you're getting it from a reputable place, that it is certified, that it is tested by a third party, because you want to ensure the highest quality supplements for your dog, just as you would for yourself.
Absolutely.
And Anuba, you brought up a great point, and you mentioned about skin, because just like with people, our skin is our largest organ. So if we're seeing any skin issues, there's 100% chance that there's something going on inside of your body, because any rashes, dry skin, right, scaly bumps, are all telltale signs of something going on in your body. So if you see your dog itching constantly, that is not normal. And that's something that you need to check out, especially with the diet, perhaps.
With the diet, the first thing would always be diet. You can also check for yeast infection. Then you have to stop giving table scraps to your dog, because that can lead to a lot of yeast infection in dogs. You have to see they have hair falling off from spots. A lot of times you have seen that with good quality food, when you switch from a commercial food to a good quality food, you are seeing a difference in dog's skin health. Absolutely. First thing, like I mentioned with the rascal, the minute he started going on home cooked food away from commercial food, his skin was beautiful. It was nice and shiny and silky, whereas he had a lot of dandruff and dry skin before. It is what you are feeding your dog.
Yeah. So everyone, look at the coat, shine, right? Dryness. Bumps, any missing patches, those are all signs that you need to look into something deeper. Anuba, what would you say to people that say, oh, they're just animals, you don't need to spend so much time, money on fancy toys and foods? What would you say to them?
So I would say this was something that, you know, people used to say 50 years ago. Things have changed a lot now. These animals are our pets. People spend thousands of dollars getting a pet from buying a pet these days. If you're not rescuing, you're buying a pet, you're paying $3,000-$4,000 for that animal. You have to take care of that animal. You have to give him, not only for the money, he is a living being staying with you. You have to give him that life. You have to give him at least the chance of the lifespan that is intended for it by giving him good, healthy, nutritious food. If you don't take care of the nutrition, you'll be just spending more money at the vet later on. They are part of the family now. People don't have 10 kids these days. People just have a few kids. They have dogs. So a lot of people don't even have kids. They just have dogs because they love dogs so much. So they have become their own, they have become their children. So that thought is over long ago that, you know, they're just animals. Again, like I mentioned, we don't have to spend a lot of money on fancy toys and food. We just have to give them good nutrition. Good nutrition is not expensive, as people like to think. Good nutrition can come at a good price. You just have to look at your food choices. You don't have to spend a lot of money on fancy toys. Just give them enough to stimulate their brains, their minds, to keep them occupied, to keep them busy, to keep them happy. They are part of your family. Just as we are conscious about our own health these days, we go to the gym, we eat healthy food, we don't eat crap food. We try to make sure our children eat the same. Your dogs have now become that part of the family who deserve the same attention and the same food.
Great words, Anubha. What have you been seeing the trends in the pet food industry? Because we also know some people are really just care about the bottom line and some people genuinely care about the well-being of animals. What are you seeing there in terms of products? And then are we seeing more conscious consumers, or do you feel like the higher cost of these quote unquote good quality foods and items are deterring pet owners? What are you noticing there?
So we are seeing a lot of conscious consumers. We see we have consumers come to the store, talk to us, make changes in their food choices. They take different decisions than what they would have taken if they had not come with us. And yes, there are some people for whom a price would always be important. And there are some people for whom the price won't be important. But having said that, there are choices for everyone. And food, good quality food has gone up. Everything has gone up in price. You talk about even small things in the grocery aisle, and even similarly, all the prices because of COVID, prices have gone up. And that can be a deterrent for some pet owners. But we would like to say that we do have options for you. We do have something nutritious that will fall into your price range. You don't have to think that the more expensive food is better food. So we have seen more of the trend going to more towards raw food these days. Raw food is the most natural way that you can feed your dog. There are no fillers in it. It's only muscle meat, bones, organs, fruits, and vegetables. Yes, there is a price with raw food, but again, then we have a lot of options. For bigger dogs, there are bigger packs. That makes it more economical. And even if you can't do raw food, it's fine. We have quick baked food, we have dehydrated kibble. These are all better than the regular kibble that are very, very highly processed. They are processed by an extruding method, and that method kind of kills all the nutrients. So you have to add back vitamins, you have to add back flavor, you have to add back color to make that kibble palatable for your dog. So that's why we would say people are avoiding highly processed food. But even among kibble, you have food that is good quality proteins, proteins made from fresh food, proteins kibble made from really clean ingredients. And even if you want to give dry food or kibble to your dog, you can go with these options. So there are lots of choices. For me, I always maintain that sustainability is the key. What you can do on a long-term basis, what is good for your lifestyle and your pocket is what you should be doing for your dog. And there is no There's no judgment here. A lot of people go to work in the morning, so they can't do raw food in the morning. So, okay, you can do dry food in the morning. You can do kibble in the evening. You can do raw food in the evening. There are lots of choices, like I said. It will also bring more economy to your food. Also, we have dehydrated food if you don't want to do raw food. They are low temperature dehydrated. Then we have quick baked and air dried food, which is more healthier than the dry food kibble. So we have, like I said, a lot of options, and you just have to go out and look for it.
Yeah, and I love that. And it sounds like with supply demand, more and more consumers are expecting good quality options. But they also, like you said, you have to take into account the economics and their budgeting. But there are options for everyone. You just have to find what works for your family. But it's also important to prioritize the highest quality nutrition, and as well as any products that you bring into your household.
Absolutely.
Anuba, if you could advise pet owners on one or two changes that they can make starting today to have a more toxin-free, healthier household, what would you say to them?
So I would say avoid highly processed food for your, like you would do, avoid it for your kids, avoid it for your pets. Anything that's highly processed is not putting any nutrition into your body. Go for more natural lifestyle, more natural food. Go for natural supplements instead of chemicals. Something that everyone would like to do in totality, but at least, you know, a few changes, a few steps at a time. Like, for example, when you have a it's flea and tick season, so a lot of people take their dogs to the vet to get them injected. And some of us, we like to use more natural flea and tick prevention. We use a tickless that gives out ultrasound waves and that tries to repel the flea and tick. No method is 100% effective, but it helps. And these are small steps. And if it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for you. Do what works for you. Not rush in and make a huge change, but slowly and surely try to go as much natural as possible. Have a more healthier household.
Wonderful. And as we mentioned, the Bone and Biscuit Company is Canadian, but you have phone numbers, emails, a very knowledgeable staff. So for people that are visiting Canada, do find a store. Rest assured, you're going to find great quality products there. But also, if you don't live in Canada, I will give you the phone number, email, and website information so you can go and ask your questions or do your research, get more information.
You can also reach out to us on our Instagram account. If you have a question, we'll be happy to answer all the questions on Instagram too.
Perfect. And I love following you on Instagram. Lots of great information there. And that's how we've been conversing back and forth. So very easy to find.
Thank you. Yes, we try.
Anuba, thank you so much for being here to discuss how important it is for all of us pet owners to place a high value on our furry friends' nutrition.
Thank you, Argaman, for having me. I enjoyed doing this interview with you.
Thank you. And we use the old adage, you are what you eat, for humans, and it most certainly applies to animals too. And yes, we know the right balance of nutrients can really improve the quality of life, the longevity of your pet's life. So we hope that you can take that away from our conversation today.
Yes, that's right. And you really took it in a good direction today.
Thank you so much. And again, I will provide all of those information for the listeners to find us. Thank you to the listeners for tuning in. Until next time. Thank you for listening to the Baby Steps Nutrition Podcast with your host, Argavan Nilforush. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into all the tips and tricks you and your family can use to make daily life a little easier. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to support the podcast, please leave a rating and review, share with others, and follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Baby Steps Nutrition Podcast. As always, you can head over to babystepsnutrition.com to sign up for our email list, as well as check out all the links and resources in the show notes. See you next time. Tune in. Feel great.